Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey guys, I hope you had a wonderful non-denominational winter holiday. What you're getting here today is one of my favorite things I've done all this year, and there was a lot of cool stuff we did in 2020. This is Andrew and I in a trivia contest head-to-head hosted by the amazing Emily Clark. This was posted on our YouTube page for a while, but I've always meant for it to go onto the Patreon, so this has been on our YouTube page for a minute. But I've always intended for it to come here to our full-on podcast stream, and I just didn't do it. So here it is. So here it is in full glory. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of fun facts. Emily is a wonderful host. You're in for a treat. All right, let's get to it. And also,
come on in here. Come on in here. The Musicals with Cheese live stream. Hosted by me. Hosted by me. Your MC, Emily C. Oh, I got Broadway trivia like you never heard before. So factual that your jaw will hit the floor. I hope the guys are prepped with notes and Sondheim quotes. Come on along, come on along. I know that Andrew's getting stressed because he's up against his buddy Jess. Together these fine fellers brought you 100 episodes. So let's get on with this cheesy 100th show.
We did it, guys!
So goofy.
It's perfect. What are you talking about?
It is perfect. It's cheese. It's pure cheese. Bravo. Bravo.
I will never top that.
Can we just play it a couple more times?
No. Yeah, let's call that the live stream.
No. No. All right. Are we live here now, people? Are we here on the internet? Did you just see our amazing, amazing theme song?
We're live.
We're live. We did it.
Thank you. Yes. I wish I had more breath support at the end of that, but you know what? It's just Musicals with Cheese.
It's not a real podcast. It's not like a Jim and Tomic or anything.
Hey, now, this.
This is a train wreck.
This is a 100th episode celebration, baby.
As we say, it's quantity, not quality, that matters. It's quantity.
I'll get the chocolate cheese. We'll throw a party. Let's go.
Okay, so should I start my spiel or should we wait longer?
What do you think? You're the host. I refuse to make choices here.
Yeah, we don't host Musicals with Cheese. That's you.
No, it's me.
Tonight, it's you.
Tonight, it's all about me for once. Yes, I am Emily Clark, and I am here because these dummies over here decided to do 100 episodes of a podcast about musicals. Are they cheesy? Sometimes.
Oh, yeah. In a very vague sense.
It's all good. All musicals are cheesy. Let's own up to it.
It's the genre that's cheesy.
And we love it. So we are here tonight because the guys contacted me and they were like, Emily, you're the smartest, prettiest, coolest person we know. And you know a lot about musicals. And would you come up with a trivia game for us? And I said, hell yes, I would. So we are doing 25. Well, it's really 50 questions, but they're split in two. We have Andrew questions, which are a little easier, and
Thank
Jess
you.
Questions. Where he was like, do not, he said, do not hold back, and I did not.
So, yes, I'm going to lose, guys.
is overconfident sometimes.
So here's how it's going to work. I'm going by show. Now, they are all based on Musicals with Cheese episodes. So they are all musicals that you two have learned about. So, and talked
should
about.
Have learned about.
So,
shut up. Let's see if Andrew paid attention, guys.
So we will see how much you remember. I hope you took your notes and are ready for Sondheim quotes.
That is like the best lyric ever.
I'm Sondheim, basically.
It like came right out of a strange loop. I love that lyric so much.
I'm on it, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go by show. So I'm going to say, okay, here's the show. Number one is this show. And then I'll ask Andrew a question. And then I'll be like, yes or no. And then I'll ask Jess a question. And we'll be like, yes or no. And I'm going to keep score. Now, here's the deal. I know you guys like to talk in the chitty chat. And that's awesome. But, and the boys are trying to ignore it. I guess just don't be dicks about it. Like, don't have like 90 people all screaming the same thing at the same time. Right, Gut? Is there anything else I should say about that?
Be nice to each other and also don't ruin answers. I mean, we're not going to try to look, but don't ruin answers.
Try not to ruin answers. Yeah.
If like for the people that are playing at home.
Yeah. So for example, I'm going to keep score in my little journal right here. So if you want to do that and then kind of compare answers, you could do that and then go, yay, I was right in the chat. And that would be awesome.
Also, don't make fun of us when we get things wrong, especially Andrew. You can make fun of me. I kind of am used to
it. You can make fun of me. I'm expecting to get like, let's see, none of them right. So,
you know, well, I'm really excited about this. They're like easy questions for me.
Wow.
Damn.
Ouch. Even
but hey,
death, that's bad.
We're all here to learn and to grow together. And this is all about fun. There's no one's winning anything at the end, except, I don't know, self-respect or something.
I never had that to begin with.
One of us gets kicked off the show.
Oh.
And Emily gets to be the third host.
Wait, then who's going to be the second host?
Oh, wait till next week, guys. You guys to find out.
And maybe it's our producer. We have a producer tonight.
We do. We do want to call him out. Thomas Butcher, who is a good friend of mine, is producing this to make sure that I'm not distracted making all these graphics and stuff. So he's working on switching between the cameras and stuff. So thank you, Thomas. Chat, say thank you to Thomas.
Say thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Thomas.
Thanks, Tom. Okay.
See, staying at more high pitch.
Thomas. Thank you, Tom. All right. So, is everybody ready? Is everybody here?
I'm ready and here.
Everybody ready?
Yes.
I'm ready.
Hit it! Da, da, da,
da, da, da, da. You must have heard wrong, Grandma. There's no...
We really should have said special appearance by Josh Groban.
That's a preview of something to come.
Now everyone say, fuck you, Thomas. Go home, Thomas. We're kidding.
We love you, Thomas.
You're
oh
wonderful.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. Okay. That was beautiful. All right. So I think we're going to get started. All right. And I'm getting my little scoreboard ready. All right. Here we go. We are starting with the musical Assassins.
Ooh. I remember this one episode. A little bit.
wanted to go back. Okay, so Andrew.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start this off.
I can't wait to get it wrong.
Andrew, who originated the role of John Wilkes Booth?
That's not fair. Goodness.
That's not a fair question for me.
I'll give you a hint. He's also a movie star, and he was the guy who built Titanic in Titanic.
He was also Daddy Warbucks in the 99.
I think I literally know who you're talking about, and I can picture him in my head.
And if for Glee with Cheese, he played Will Schuster's dad.
I know who you're talking about already. The name is eluding me.
Do we give up?
I'm going to have to give up. I'm sorry.
Say it.
I let everybody down.
Victor Garber.
That's okay. Yeah. It's the first one.
Wrong. You failed.
All right, Jess. You know that there is a conceit in the show where some characters have songs that are the ballad of. So, name the three assassins who get a ballad, as in the ballad of fill in the blank.
Okay, Ballad of Gateau, Ballad of Cholgosh, and Ballad of Booth.
Bada boom, bada boom, bada boom, that's correct! See?
I feel like I might have gotten that one. Did you switch our questions?
Victor Garber was a pretty easy one because he's a very famous actor.
Famous?
I'm so bad at
names. He's theater famous. He's not real people famous.
Oh, people know him. He Andrew reacted exactly how most people react. They go, I know that guy. He was in The Thing. Anyway, that's just question one.
Even real people famous, I'm still not good at it because I don't even know celebrities.
Exactly. All right. Question number two, everybody.
All right.
This was an episode that brought me into the musicals with Cheese Family. This question is about the musical Oklahoma. Okay, Andrew.
Oh, boy.
What is the title of our lead couple, Lori and Curly? What's the title of their flirty duet?
Oh, my goodness. I know this. I actually do know this.
They have a reprise of it in the second act and everything.
Did you just hear this in Watchmen?
Yes, I did. Oh my God, what is it called?
If you could get to like the last line of the like every verse, you'll get
can
it.
Can I give a hint or is this evil?
No, I know this one already, but okay, you can give me a hint.
Just think in your mind like how hard Rodgers and Hammerstein had of finding a reason to write a love song in the first act. Like, because they had to phrase things in certain ways so that their characters couldn't say that they were so infatuated.
I know. It's people will think we're in love.
Okay,
right?
That's really close. It's really close. It's not think.
Say?
Yeah! I'm giving it to you.
Okay, I did know that one. I really did know that one. I didn't even need the hint, but.
People will say we're in love.
I give it. That was great, Andrew.
Good job. Okay. Jess.
Yeah, that's me.
Why is Oklahoma considered important to musical theater history?
Oh, we just had a conversation about this, like literally earlier today. It is the first technical book musical ever put onto a Broadway stage.
And what is a book musical?
Basically, it's a book musical in traditional sense, as a wonderful educator informed me earlier today, is a musical where the songs are very dependent in the story. You can take a story and you cannot remove the songs because they push the story forward. Even though I'd argue that The Wizard of Oz is technically just as important with its musical numbers as the average book musical.
It's coming for nerds. He contacted me out of the blue today and was like, so wait, I want you to define what a book musical is. And in the grand history of musical theater on the stage, Oklahoma is considered the first book musical because all the musicals before that, you could take the songs out and the story still makes sense. Totally makes sense.
But I don't think you can do that with The Wizard of Oz.
I think you kind of can because they say what they're about to sing about right before it happens. It's like, oh, I'm done. I don't have a brain. Yeah. And then he sings about how he doesn't have a brain.
Well, you could do that with a lot of musical I Want songs in general, though.
It's a buildup.
They didn't. Well, look, it's an argumentative thing, but it's a grand agreed upon thing in the history of musical theater. Oklahoma is like the watershed. But that was a great answer.
Yeah, I get it. Where's this going?
Nowhere. We're getting into like a semantics conversation. This is good. No, this is
I've
good.
I've already gotten more points than I was expecting, so it's already going to places.
Okay. We're gonna keep going. Gonna keep trucking along. All right, number three. This musical. Okay, the last 5 years.
Oh, this is a good one.
Andrew didn't even understand the plot of that one.
I did eventually.
Your question doesn't refer to the plot. Okay, so Andrew, the character Jamie, the boy character, is a stand-in for the show's writer. That writer is...
He knows this one.
The number one fan club of himself. Is this the guy?
There's two characters in the show. So the boy, it's a stand-in for the guy who wrote the show. So who's the guy who wrote the show?
Jason Robert Brown.
Yes!
Only because Jess makes the same joke like 100 times. I know that name.
He's the president of the Jason Robert Brown fan club. Jason Robert Brown.
I always call him Gerb. I love Gerb. Anytime you hand a pianist Gerb to play, they look up at you like that. Okay.
I figure we should put this up there just because people are showing Thomas love.
What?
Oh. Thomas, you are an angel.
Okay. So, Jess, your question. What are the two songs that represent the start of Jamie and Kathy's relationship?
Depending on which one you're reading. All right. So we could either talk about Shiksa Goddess and Goodbye Until Tomorrow, which is kind of where they both fit.
That's the right answer.
You could go with the original version, which is I Could Be in Love with Someone Like You and Goodbye Until Tomorrow.
So I almost, just because I kind of had a little too many, like, who played this part questions, I almost went with who was the original Kathy.
Lauren Kennedy, right?
Yeah, Lauren
Jess
Kennedy.
Jess is too good. It's unfair.
Lauren Kennedy, baby.
Can I tell you the only reason why I know that's right? Is because I said that she was the original Kathy in my original YouTube video for that. And someone's like, no, that's Sharon Renee Scott. You're wrong, you idiot. And I was like, oh.
It's like, they previewed it out of town first, kids. I saw Lauren Kennedy in The Ten Commandments, the musical, at the Kodak Theater starring Val Kilmer.
That's a bad musical.
It was really, really bad. Okay. I think the tickets were given to my mom for free, like at the mall. Like they handed them out to her. And she's like, you want to see this? And I was like, okay. Anyway, Lauren Kennedy was very good. She was very good. Okay. Moving on so we just had a musical that works with time. You know, one story goes linear, the other one goes, you know, end beginning. So now we're going to talk about Merrily, a show backwards. Andrew.
Yeah.
Okay. Finish.
The hat. Finish.
No, not yet. We're not. That different
That's
show.
That's not in Merrily. I know that.
Yeah. Okay. Finish this lyric. And until I die, I'll die.
Backwards?
Andrew.
Okay.
And until I die, I'll die.
It's the title of the song, kind of.
I'm not going to look.
Think of the title of the song.
I don't know the title of the song. That's the problem.
It's repetition. Let's see. Well,
The only song I've ever gone back to in Merrily was the one where he's yelling about the other guy on the
Franklin
radio Shepherd.
Franklin Shepherd.
Yes. Yeah. All right, that's Jess, the only one I've ever gone back to.
Okay, here we go. So, and until I die. I'll die day after day
till the days go by.
What a nightmare.
I'm sure the chat loved that.
Oh, the chat was
they're like, my
head over
bleeding
heels.
Ears, my bleeding ears, shame. Yeah, so it goes, I'll die day after day after day after day after day
day after day after day. After day, after day.
Oh, it's really good.
I only needed to know two words and I couldn't guess it.
I was like, Andrew, think about the title of the song, Not a Day Goes By, you know?
Like, I don't know the title of that freaking song. Okay, Jess. Jess, it's your turn.
It is my turn.
How many performances did Merrily run on Broadway?
14, I believe.
16.
Shit. No, that. Okay, I'm gonna defend myself here. I'm still wrong, but I want to defend 2 weeks. But I didn't consider the matinees, so that would make it 16 performances.
16 performances, and if you care to know, 44 previews. Okay. All right. Moving on. Excuse me. Oh, I'm all phlegmy.
Jesse, you're a failure. Let's move on. I have to cough that shit out of my throat.
Oh God, I don't even want to look at you. All right, so now we're moving on to a beloved show that even the normies know about, Mary Poppins.
I love this one.
Okay, I had a feeling. All right, Andrew. What was Walt Disney's favorite song from this musical? actually his favorite song ever, they say.
I did bring this up in the episode too.
I know, and I'm trying to remember which one it was.
Just think, what do you think the sentimental favorite is?
Oh boy. Is it I want to say it's Feed the Birds, but I might probably wrong.
It's Feed the Birds.
Okay.
It's Feed the Birds. Yes.
Andrew, you're doing great.
You're doing great. It was Walt Disney's favorite song, not only from Mary Poppins. It was like his favorite song ever. He loved Feed the Birds.
It is great.
Can you blame him?
No, it's a perfect song. Beautiful song. Julie Andrews singing it. Come on. All right. Jess.
Oh, God.
You'll know this.
Oh, okay.
Julie Andrews took on Mary Poppins after famously not being cast in this role she originated on Broadway.
Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady. And when she won the Oscar for Mary Poppins, she thanked Jack Warner for not casting her in My Fair Lady.
Bada boom!
She is a badass.
Legend. 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 Good job. All right. So, question six. Hey, we just had a question about it, so let's talk about My Fair Lady.
Okay.
Andrew.
Yeah.
who played Henry Higgins on both stage and screen?
Oh, no. I have to know the name of a person.
I tried to go with the easy one.
This is like the...
He was Dr. Doolittle in the musical Dr. Doolittle.
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy
was Jason Robert Downey Jr.
Nope.
oh no, I don't know this. I'll be honest, I have no idea.
It was notorious curmudgeon Rex Harrison.
I mean, I know the name, but I would have never gotten that.
Same. Okay, Jess.
Shame.
Like, I feel like you should know this. Okay. Who was the singing voice for Audrey Hepburn in the film version?
Marnie Nixon.
Marnie Nixon!
How do Marnie you know Nixon. These names? How, like, what has your memory been?
It's his career stuff. Everyone needs to know Marnie Nixon. Marnie
Fun
Nixon.
Fact about...
Yeah, no, tell.
Marnie Nixon also did the singing voice for the grandmother character in Mulan.
That's right. That's why she goes from being like, hurry, you go, and then she goes, beads of jade, because she was the singing voice for Natalie Wood in West Side Story. She was the singing voice for Deborah Carr in The King and I, and she was the singing voice for Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady, and she got to actually be in The Sound of Music. She's actually in it. She's one of the nuns.
Mm-hmm.
So Marnie Nixon, everyone. She was the ghost singer. Like, she was the best. Okay.
Put respect on her name.
You put respect on it. All right. All right, moving on to a show that just got some fun news about it. Once on This Island.
I love this one. I don't know if I'll answer a question about it, though.
No, let's see. Okay, Andrew. What famous songwriting team wrote Once on This Island?
Oh.
They also wrote Ragtime, Anastasia, Seussical.
We definitely talked about this in the episode, and I don't think I remember. oh my goodness.
Do you want to take a guess?
No, I don't. I don't want to embarrass myself like that.
It is Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty. Ahrens and Flaherty. And it's so funny. I kind of ran these questions by my husband the other day, and he actually got a lot of them. But when we got to this one, he was like, oh, I know this. Comden and Green.
I'm not going to lie. I would have done the same thing. My brain kept saying Yeston and Copit, so I would have been wrong too.
Right. Yeah. He went, oh, girl, guy, musical theater writing team, Comden and Green. I was like, no. You're about like 50 years too late. Okay. Jess, you'll get this.
I'll get this. All right.
Name the four gods who watch over and guide Timon.
Andrew might actually know this one, and I probably don't.
Shit! Do you know any of them?
There is Lea Salonga, Alex Newell.
No.
George Costanza.
Andrew, do you know any of them?
No, I actually don't. I do not.
Oh, I thought for sure you would get this one. Okay, so it's Asaka, Erzuli, Agwe, and Papage. Slide.
I remember Papa Gay, yeah.
Because that was your favorite.
This show was great, and I can't wait to see it again.
I just feel bad because it's not like one that I memorize beginning to end. Like I do a lot of these, is kind of a thing.
I know, that's why it's fun trivial. Okay, so now we're going to go from a good show to a bad show. Let's talk about Cats.
This is a great show. What are you talking about?
It got a movie. What are you talking about?
It got a movie.
Oh, it got a movie, baby. I'm obsessed with that movie. You all know this.
We all watched it together.
I've watched it too many times. Okay, so, Andrew.
Yeah.
What is the name of the cat who sings Memory?
I'm gonna get it wrong somehow. It's Grisabella?
Yes! I would have also accepted Grisabella the Glamour Cat, but Grisabella is just fine.
Memory, meow, 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 meow.
That's right. Now, speaking of Memory, Jess, we all know that Andrew Lloyd Webber doesn't write lyrics. So who did write the lyrics to Memory?
At first, Tim Rice did, and then they threw it away, and then Trevor Nunn wrote it on a bar napkin.
And Trevor Nunn, do you know where he got his inspiration, where he adapted some of the words from it from?
From a T.S. Eliot poem that wasn't used, right? Like, for one that That's was right. kind of, like, thrown away?
That's right. It wasn't a poem that was from Cats. It was just one of his poems. Good mm-hmm. job, Trevor Nunn. That bastard arranged, like, 8 lyrics and got royalties forever.
He was brilliant. Brilliant. He also brought us Les Mis, so I can't even be like.
I can't even be mad.
Can't even be mad. I can't be mad that he brought us Cats because he also brought us Les Mis.
Don't be mad. Right. It's great.
I know. I love how Christy wrote, it definitely got a movie in the chat. Okay. It got a movie, all right. Okay.
I don't have any Cats chat, just letting you know.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
All right, so we're going to move on to another C musical, Chicago. Okay, this is question 9 if you're keeping score. All right, Andrew.
Oh, boy.
I have no idea if you're going to get this or not.
Going to ask a name. He's just going to ask a name.
No, no. The Merry Murderesses of the Cook County Jail are each represented by what 6 words in the cell block tango? They repeat the same 6 words over and over throughout that song. It starts the song. It's in memes.
Yeah. We just got tagged in a Donald Trump version of it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, no. I should really know this one because I remember the song too. But I... There's no way I'm getting it. I'm sorry, fellas.
It's all good. I'm sorry. I'm less of a man for not knowing this. Okay. So everybody in the chat, say it with me. Pop.
Pop.
6. Squid. Squid.
You got it wrong.
Cicero.
Lipschitz.
I remember Cicero. Squish,
Cicero Lipschitz. That's right. Okay. All right, Jess.
That's me.
Chicago didn't really get its due until the mid-90s Broadway revival. What prevented the show from being a hit when it originally came out in 1975?
A lot of things.
List off some of them.
First and foremost, Bob Fosse was kind of like really strung out and couldn't focus on many things. Thank you, that amazing Fosse book. He was directing Lenny at the time, so he was not focusing fully on that. And then he was also editing Lenny, then directing Chicago, and also he had a heart attack, which that entire insurance claim for his heart attack would have paid everyone off like 3 times over. So
it
really,
happens
would...
in All That Jazz, what he's talking about.
Yes, All That Jazz is an amazing movie. One of my favorite movie of all time. So
one of my favorites, top 10 for sure.
Yeah, it's an amazing movie. As well, all that happens, and they kind of had to push it on hold and, like, mm-hmm. pause all the actors, and they all came back, like, a year later to mm-hmm. step into this. And Gwen Verdon and Chita Rivera are up there, and they're shaking their stuff. And then Gwen Verdon, like, inhales, like, confetti and destroys her throat and can't sing.
And then Liza had to come in.
Yes, okay. But that's what brought it up to, like, a more moderate success is Liza yeah. coming in.
Okay, so what about, like, in general, that I'm accepting that you're getting the point, but I just want to, what about the show itself was maybe, like, not...
Oh, it was dark as shit. Uh-huh. People didn't like that.
Yeah, and there was also another really big show that came out that year.
A Chorus Line.
Yeah, there you go. You got it. You nailed it. My notes are very
every aspect of it
because I didn't know all that. Yeah. Yeah, it was very ahead of its time, very dark, very bleak. Even though the 70s was like a bleak time for like cinema, like they were all into the nitty gritty for some reason. It took a little longer for that to come to Broadway. And like Chicago was just like a little too ahead of its time. And then it's like being a show that goes up against Hamilton, you know, it's or like The Producers. It's just one of those years where you just were not going to win.
Remember Allegiance, before. Guys?
What? What's Allegiance? I've never even. Okay. here we go. We are moving on to question 10.
Oh, boy.
Oh, we're halfway there.
This is one of my favorite musicals, The Music Man.
Oh,
all right. So, wait a second. Hold on. I didn't write that down. Boop, boop. Okay, cool. Sorry. Andrew.
Yeah.
What are Marion Perreault's two professions? She has two jobs in the show. What are Marion's two jobs?
She's the librarian and a piano teacher or something.
That's it.
Can I ask Andrew? Andrew, a podcast question to see if he remembers this.
Sure.
Andrew, what is my fan theory about Marion Perreault and Winthrop?
Oh, I know this.
Oh, it's Winthrop is her daughter or son or whatever it is. Sorry. Pardon me. Son. And then she's forcing the other person to raise her so she doesn't get in
she's
trouble.
She's forcing her. Yeah. Yes, because it makes sense because the entire plot is about like her having an affair with Miser Madison and then suddenly this kid. And obviously, like, Winna Perreault is way too old to be like childbearing age, like for that. Like, so in the 1910 times or whatever it takes place, Mary could give birth and be like, oh, it's her son. And
it's my mom's son, not mine. Yes. He's my brother, not my son. The subtext, baby. I was going to direct a production of The Music Man at high school before the mm-hmm. corona killed it. And I brought that idea up to the kids. And I was like, this is subtext, so don't put this in here. But this is a theory. And they were all like, wah! You know, they loved it. It made it.
I love that theory. And I'm so proud because I've never heard that theory outside of me. Like,
oh, yeah.
I came up with that.
I saw someone post it online.
Really?
I'm not kidding. I saw someone post it online and I latched onto it and I brought it up completely outside of you because they were talking about the revival and they were like, I only want to see it if they acknowledge that Winthrop is actually Marion's son. And I was like, dude, that's pretty great. So,
I mean, that's a great theory and I stand by it. That is my headcanon.
It'd be a great way to kind of bring it into the 21st century.
I don't really care about all that. I just want to see him sell band equipment.
Me too. Hey, I love that show, baby. Okay, so Jess.
You're arrested for selling band instruments.
Okay, Jess.
That's me. Let's go.
Finish the lyric.
All right.
They be trying out Bevo, trying out Q-Bebs, trying out TaylorMade's like cigarette fiends.
And bragging all about how they're going to cover up a telltale breath with sensei. One fine night, they leave the pool hall, headed for the dance of the armory. Libertine Brennan, Scarlet Women, and Ragtime. Shameless music, I'll grab your son, your daughter, in the arms of the animal instinct, mass hysteria, friends, you... Yeah,
there
I
you
know.
Go.
Nerds.
Nerds. All right, so wait, we are through 10 questions here, so I'm going to count. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 here. 7, 8 over here. Okay, that's not bad. All right. I'm going to just like get this ready on my other page. How is everyone feeling? How has everyone in the chat been doing? Have you guys been getting these questions? Are they easy? Are they hard?
I've seen a lot of people getting them wrong.
Oh, really? Yes.
You know who you are.
This would be a great time to go to my channel, Stealing Focus, and watch some of my musical theater history lessons. Look at me promoting myself. All right. Wonderful.
It's like the opposite of our show.
Yeah, you actually learned something.
Not true. All right. Okay, cool. So we are 5-8. I'm just going to put on my tally here. All right, everybody. So Andrew
you can
is
catch
at
up,
five.
Andrew.
We can still catch up. There is still a long ways to go. Andrew has 5 and Jess has 8. So, you know, how's everyone? Ooh, Sharon's been doing good. 13-20. Okay, some people doing really good. That's right, because all of you at home get to do kind of doubles. All right, we are going to continue with question 11. And this is a musical where if you don't... God, did you just hit a bong?
Did that happen?
No, that was a very elongated belt that I turned away from the mic for. I was trying to be real polite and subtle about
really
it.
Polite and subtle about it.
Like, put my face out of the camera's view. And blah, 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 blah.
That literally sounded like a bong rip.
Yes, can,
oh
you turn, can you turn the can you
oh
turn
my God,
the camera
I'm getting sweaty. I'm getting sweaty. Oh my God. Okay.
Happy 100th episode, everyone. Jess goes to prison.
I'm decriminalized. Okay.
Not in Detroit.
No, it's just.
Yes, it is in Detroit. Stop that.
It's funny because I'm going away from the video to look at my questions on my computer, so you weren't on screen. So all I could.
I wasn't on screen when I did it either. So.
Jess, you've ruined the show.
Okay. Sorry, you guys. Sorry, we're going to get back to the questions. I'm sorry. Okay, number 11. We're going to talk about Rent. All right.
Oh, great.
Yay.
Andrew, we know a year is 525,600 minutes, but according to Rent, how else do you measure a year?
We were literally talking about this song 5 minutes ago.
I don't remember the exact lyrics, but do they measure it by seasons of love? I don't know.
That's one.
You know what? We are at, yeah, that's one, but it's measured by a few others.
Oh, there's a few other ones.
It's like a list song. So if you can name at least a couple of them, I feel like that should be fine.
Yeah. If you give me a couple more. So they do 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year in...
blanks and blanks and blanks and blanks of blanks.
Moments and weeks and hours. I don't know.
Fuck it. He got three.
No,
did I get three? I don't think
no.
I got three.
You got love. You got love, and that's it.
He got hours.
Well, that's the last lyric, isn't it?
Like, isn't hours one of them?
Daylights, yep. Sunsets, midnight.
Those are the same thing.
Cups of coffee. Thing. Inches, miles, laughter.
You can't measure time by inches or miles.
No, I know. Those are the lyrics according to the song. Ugh. Okay. So that's the answer.
Okay. Andrew's wrong.
Right.
Shame.
I got it right.
No, you didn't.
All of the things I said are things you can actually measure a year by. So.
Yes, but I said according. I said according to Rent.
We all know Rent is wrong.
You cannot count a year in diapers and cups of coffee.
Hey.
Have you ever tried?
Parsecs isn't distance either. It's just, you know.
Well, don't go into Star Wars because Andrew will have a fucking conniption.
Okay.
Parsecs you can measure a year in. It's...
Okay, Jess, list off the entire waiter's order in La Vie Boheme.
Oh, my God.
You can thank Jeff for this one. Jeff was like, you should ask him this.
Jess knows it, too, but he's like, no, he's not going to be able to think of it.
No. I don't. I know chunks of it. Like,
You know some of the chunks?
I know some of the chunks. It is seaweed salad, soy burger with meatless balls. Is that?
No. Okay, you got one.
There's something with meatless balls. And
there is.
and it tastes the same if you close your eyes. And 13 orders of fries. Is that it here? Wine and beer.
Okay, well, so you got three. So I'll allow it. I'll allow it. That was three of them, so I'll allow it.
We serve it's, food here, sir.
Yes. It's here to if you all sing it along with me. So that's five miso soup, it's, four seaweed salad, three soy burger, dinner.
Three soy burger.
Dog platter and one pasta with meatless balls. So it's five miso soup, four seaweed salad, three soy burger. Oh, sorry. Three soy burger dinner, two tofu dog platter, one pasta with meatless balls, 13 orders of fries, wine, and beer. There you go. This is what happens when you grow up in the 90s and you just play that on repeat and dream about marrying Adam Pascal. I'm an 80s kid, but...
Can I tell you an experience I saw with Adam Pascal that kind of made my heart break?
Oh,
recently.
In a good way or a bad way?
Bad way. It made me sad. Because, like, I'm friends with him on Facebook, because I'm friends with a lot of people on Facebook. I'm friends with a lot of weirdos on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, me too.
Yeah, you get it. But, like, someone commented on something unrelated, like, Adam Pascal was garbage in The Music Man. And then he replied, like, I'm a human being with emotions, and I really don't think, like... And I was like, oh, no. I didn't need this... That's sad.
I just
saw a link and I didn't want to read the comments and see this.
I don't like it. Okay, moving on. Question 12. We are on Into the Woods. Andrew, which character utters the lyric, nice is different than good?
Okay, nice is different than good. Uh-huh. I feel like it's the little boy character, but I can't quite remember. Is it Jack and the Giant Bean Man?
It is not. It is
Andrew,
not.
Have you learned nothing?
I've learned really, nothing.
You even said little. It's Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, so it's the little girl character.
The little girl, the fairy tale character, Little Red Riding Hood. Yes. Okay, that's great. Jess, why was the narrator's "to be continued" added at the end of the first act during?
Because everyone would fucking leave. Like it feels like it. I even when I first watched the fucking DVD, I was like, oh, is that was short.
They had to, yes. So people out there that, you know, in the video, if you've seen the video of the original 80s production, you see Tom Aldridge point to the audience and be like, "To be continued," because people would leave after, they would leave during intermission and be like, that was a great one act fairy tale we just saw. So,
and hey. Then they just saw Into the Woods Jr.
They saw Into the Woods Jr. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Nobody reads the playbill. I mean, come on, people. This is
yeah,
why.
Andrew. Yeah, Andrew.
This is why
I never
like
get the playbill. So,
if you're in America, they'll give them out for free. In the West End, you have to buy them, and that's some bull.
That's ridiculous. Are you fucking crazy?
I'm not paying for some paper.
I'm not kidding. I had to check. I had to check at the end, at the beginning, on like the placard at the front to see. Otherwise, I had to drop like $10 or something to get a program. Stupid. Okay, here we go. All right, so we are moving on to number 13. Fiddler on the Roof. Na, 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 na. So Andrew, I don't know if you're going to get this. Well, maybe you will. You've actually gotten some of these behind the scenes people. What famous Golden Age figure originally directed and choreographed Fiddler? His other credits include West Side Story and On the Town. He's a big famous Broadway choreographer.
And I brought it up in the episode.
Yeah, you definitely did. And I don't think there's any way I'm going to remember it. Oh boy.
He
oh
came
boy.
Up with the snaps in the arms.
He did a great job, and I got nothing.
That's okay. Everybody, it's Jerome Robbins.
Yeah, I'm not going to get that one. I'm okay. Sorry, fellas. I can't get more than five.
No, you'll get there. You'll get there. I think there's going to be more that you're going to get. Okay, so Jess, Fiddler has been revived a lot. And many famous men have played the role of Tevye. Can you name at least three?
Yes. Let's start from the beginning. Zero Mostel, Chaim Topol, Alfred Molina, Danny Bernstein. Bernstein? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Gwen Stefani.
Danny Burstein.
Mm-hmm. Gwen Stefani, too.
Yeah.
Josh Groban.
I would have accepted I also would have accepted Josh Groban, who played Tevye in my high school production of Fiddler on the Roof. And I got to sing with him.
You must have heard wrong, Grandma. There's no tailor. You mean the butcher, Grandma, by the name of Laser Wolf.
In heaven it was made.
Mazel tov.
A fine upstanding boy, a comfort and a joy, the tailor Mazel Tamzoil.
But we announced it already. We made a bargain with the butcher.
But we announced it, Grandma, to our neighbors. We made a bargain, Grandma, with the butcher Laser Wolf.
No, so you announced it? Tevye, that your head ache. But as for Laser Wolf, I say to you, Tevye, that's your head ache too.
A blessing on your house, Mazel Tov.
Brilliant. I love it.
It's Josh. You've
Josh
stolen
Groban.
Our hearts.
Josh Groban.
Emily, you've stolen our
Isn't
hearts.
Isn't that ridiculous? I was 16. I was a junior and he was a senior. And there's other people. Like, my friend Ryan Scott Oliver. He was Perchick. Mm-hmm. And then the next year we did Evita and Taryn Killam was our Che. I know. It's so weird. It's so weird.
Can I say something that makes me sad, but I realize that everything's
connected?
It's an
arts high school. What?
I thought Josh Groban couldn't act because of that video for so long.
Oh no, he's a good actor.
Yeah, but he played Tevye like such a wet blanket.
Well, he was 17 years old.
I know.
And our director was really bad. Ooh. I don't care if he knows. He'll never watch this.
You're bad, and you should feel
Ooh.
Bad. That's coming from Emily Clark.
He did my senior year. He did Evita. First of all, who am I going to play in Evita? Second of all, high schoolers should not do Evita. And it made everyone go insane. Anyway, that was me. You can watch all of that online. All of our freaking 1999 production of Fiddler on the Roof with Josh Groban.
Josh Groban.
All right, so moving on, enough of that. We're going to talk about a musical I love, but it's kind of problematic, but I love it. The musical Carousel.
I love it, too. I'm dressed up as Billy Bigelow today.
You are. Okay, Andrew, which month is busting out all over?
June.
There you go. I told you.
You don't have to give order. Me. That's like a low ball there. Easy.
Well, I tried to run the gamut. Okay.
That's the only song I listen to.
Okay. It's a legend. Okay, Jess. Who originated the role of Billy Bigelow?
Gordon McRae.
If you need a hint, he's Bonnie Raitt's dad.
John Raitt.
There you go.
I did the same shit when we did the Oklahoma trivia. I literally said Gordon McRae, and it was John Raitt.
John Raitt, baby. Okay, moving on. Number 15. Going to go from a good musical to like a bad one. We're going to talk about Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark.
What? This was great. Everyone hurt themselves. They all broke their legs.
It was totally, you know.
They bled for their art.
They bled for their art. And wow, those previews. Okay, so Andrew, what famous rockers wrote the songs for Spider-Man?
Oh, oh my goodness. This wasn't U2, was it? Like The Edge?
The Edge and?
Bono?
Bono and The Edge, baby.
So U2, yeah.
Half of U2, but the half of U2 that does most of it.
No one cares about, is there even another half?
Like, who are the like other they... guys? I don't even know. Okay, Jess, who was the original villain of the show before a major plot revamp during their extensive previews?
I mean, the villain was always Julie Taymor, but it was Arachne.
That's correct.
She had a tap dancing number with all of her eight legs.
I, I wish I had seen it. My husband saw it well before he was my husband, because he got some free tickets to see it, I think. Oh, man.
I hope it was as insane as it sounded in the Song of Spider-Man book.
Oh, that book is amazing. You all need to read that book. It's so good. All of you out there, it's amazing. Okay, so number 16, we are talking about Hadestown, which I'm wearing my new Hadestown shirt right now.
I can't see it.
I know, I'm sitting down. There we go.
There we go.
It's how to hold my own. Okay, so.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Andrew. All right. Who is the only actor from Hadestown to win a Tony for their performance?
Oh, boy. Was it the Hermes guy? I don't really know his name, though.
You know what? I'm going to be generous and accept the Hermes guy, because the Hermes is the character.
That's who he plays, right?
That is correct.
I remember he had nice shoes, too.
He wears the most amazing clothes. He has a couple Tonys. He's Andre DeShields.
Okay.
He's got that great voice like that. I just love his voice. I just love it.
I remember screaming too loud when he won.
He's the best part of the show.
He's so Fantastic. Great. I'm a big Amber Gray stan. I'm just so obsessed with her. Oh, my God. Okay, so Jess.
That's a me.
I see. What major element of Hadestown was not present in the New York Theater Workshop production?
Was it the, elevating table stage? I forget what those are called, but I feel like that wasn't there.
Well, yes, but a major element in, the actual book, show, score, text.
Okay. I want to say Andre DeShields, because he really did just change that show altogether. I know Chris Sullivan originally played him, but I'm trying to think of what you mean by the text. Is it an actual proper I Want song for
Nope.
I'm trying to remember the differences. I know there's big differences, but
premature wrong. All they're already up on the screen.
I don't think I've given a wrong answer. I'm just not giving the answer she was looking for.
You gave the wrong answer.
The element that was missing was the ensemble, the workers, the Greek chorus. All four or five of those people did not exist in the New York Theater Workshop production. Mm-hmm. I know that because when we talked to Liam Robinson, a big part of his job was creating all of that with the vocal arrangement. So all that backup stuff that they're always singing.
Was that originally just the Fates and
A lot of it didn't exist.
Okay.
But the stuff that did exist was just everyone on stage. So it was just originally eight to nine people cast, and they expanded it. So, haha. All right. So moving on to number 17, we are talking about Urinetown for this one.
I barely remember this one to begin with.
Okay. So this will probably, maybe, I don't know. Okay. So Andrew. What exactly is Urinetown?
Okay, Urinetown, in the show, what is Urinetown?
The whole show, in the show, they all are asking, what is Urinetown? What is Urinetown? And then you find out in the second act what exactly Urinetown is.
Wasn't Urinetown just where they said people went when they killed them?
So that would mean that Urinetown equals what?
Death?
Yes! Yeah, they literally say that. They go, you mean death is Urinetown? So you got it.
Urinetown, the epitome of subtle commentary.
Urinetown is death. Yeah. Okay. Jess, let me try that again.
Let's go.
Can't edit it. What multiple Tony Award winner originated the role of Caldwell B. Cladwell?
Fuck, I don't know.
He sings molasses to rum to slaves in the movie of 1776. He is also Leap Day William on 30 Rock.
I know the actor. Can't think of the name.
John Cullum. He's got that ball.
About time Jess gets hit with one of those and gets it wrong.
See? Okay. Number 18, Evita. I always want to say it like my high school director. He would say Evita like that. It was really annoying. And so, Evita Peron. It was just really weird. Okay, so, Andrew, finish the lyric.
Oh, boy.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is I never left you. All through my wild days, my mad existence.
Lyrics are like my worst suit, besides actors.
It's a really, really famous song.
I know. I even know this song.
My mad existence.
What rhymes with existence?
Persistence.
Fucking.
Timorous ain't that clever.
I don't know. I really don't know the lyrics like this far in. I know the first like 5 words, and then I stop singing along.
No shame. Okay, it's I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance. Okay, Jess.
Yes.
Who played Evita on stage first?
Ooh. Okay. This might be a trick question, and I'm trying not. Elaine Page originated the London Rule. I'm not sure if Julie Covington played it in any form while she was on the album.
We shall accept Elaine Page because she did it on stage first. I didn't ask who did the recording first. See how clever I am there? Okay, so moving on.
How do I know this shit? I'm starting, like, why the fuck do I know that?
It's that musical theater life, baby.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Fantastic. All right, number 19. Little Shop of Horrors. All right, Andrew.
Okay.
Why didn't the original 1982 stage production win any Tony Awards?
Is this like a trick question?
I brought this up in the episode too.
Why didn't the original stage production win any Tonys? Seems like a travesty to me.
It is a trick question, Andrew.
It didn't exist, right? Am I wrong? It wasn't
the Tonys? No, the Tonys have been around since
on you.
50s.
I don't remember. Do they only apply it for Broadway shows? Because it's never on Broadway.
Yes! That's correct! It's a Broadway show!
Okay.
You got it right! Yay! Yeah, A Little Shop, the original production, was an off-Broadway musical, and only Broadway musicals are eligible for the Tony Awards. So it wasn't until that, what was that, 2000s revival that actually took place on Broadway. That's when it finally got some Tonys. Crazy.
Thomas is really bringing, like, the funny quotes down below. I'm loving these.
Don't worry, the movie's better anyways.
What?
Better. Okay, so.
I mean, it is.
All right, Jess. Who originated the roles of Seymour and Audrey?
Alan Green for Audrey, and I'm trying to remember how to pronounce the name, but I know the name. It's like Lee. It's the last name that's throwing me off. I know how to spell it.
Embarrass yourself, Jess. Just say it.
Even if you don't know how to say it, just.
It's like Minkoff or something like that. Or am I thinking of someone else? Or
swap the turn the M upside down.
Winkoff.
I'll give it to you. It's Lee Wilcoff.
Wilcoff. I was close.
I give it to you. I'm giving it to you. Lee Wilcoff. Yeah.
Rick Moranis.
Everyone knows Alan Green, but not too many people think of Lee Wilcoff, and his voice is amazing. Oh my
it
god,
is.
So good.
George Salazar.
Oh, George Salazar was so effing good. I can't even begin to tell you.
Amber Riley was good too. Like that. I watched the bootleg of that production.
Oh,
it blew my mind. That was a whole different version.
I can't even begin to tell you how crazy that was. And like, you know, if you're a kid from Pasadena, which I am, like the Pasadena Playhouse is a theater you go to all the time. So seeing it become this like hub, it was really crazy. Okay. So number 20, we are on to Tick, Tick, Boom.
Andrew's favorite episode.
I don't remember.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I wasn't sure if you were being sarcastic. Okay, so Andrew, the writer of Tick, Tick, Boom, Jonathan Larson, has only one other major musical theater credit. So what other show did he write?
Was it like Revenge of the Landlords or?
Yeah, something like that.
What was it?
I don't know.
I think it was Rent. I'm pretty sure it was Rent.
To the landlords, it is Rent. Okay. Jess, this show, Tick, Tick, Boom, features a parody of a famous song from another musical. What is the song and what is the musical?
Sunday from Sunday in the Park with George.
You got it, baby. All right, so that was 20. Let me count this up.
I think it might be pretty close right now, honestly.
1, 2, 3.
I don't think it's that close.
5, 6, 7, 8. It is, I'm bad at math. Okay, 11 to 16 right now.
I did better than I thought I was going to do.
Yeah, right? You're doing good. Okay, so we're coming up to the last five. Okay, cool. How's everybody doing at home?
How are we feeling, guys? I haven't looked at the chat very much, so I'm like, in between questions now, I want to look at it. Rent 2, Revenge of the Landlords. That's amazing, Christy.
I love the... Forbidden Broadway Rent parody so much, and they do this bit where they're like Rent. They do this part where they're like, where they rant. So I always want to call it Rant. more like Tenant Strike Back.
That's just what's going on right now.
Yeah, and all the kids in Rent are like rich and can afford to pay their rent anyway. They're doing it out of
they just don't. They just don't want to.
They just don't want to. Yeah,
that's the biggest thing about La Boheme and Rent.
I am.
Like La Boheme, they actually can't pay for their shit.
Yeah. Hey, you know, it was a different time, the '90s. All right, we're coming to the final five, everybody.
Oh boy.
And don't be upset if you're not doing great with the scoring, because the deal is you are learning new information now that you can whip out at your musical theater parties and musical theater trivia things. And people are going to be like, I didn't know that. Wow. What a deep cut. And aren't
you? The important thing is you're doing better than me.
Okay. Final five. Here we go. So since we just had a question about it, let's go on to maybe my favorite musical, Sunday in the Park with George. So,
all right.
Andrew, what are the names of the actors who originally played George and Dot?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, howdy.
Big musical theater names. One of them is Inigo Montoya. The other one was in The Jerk.
Oh, my goodness. So, Steve Martin and...
Oh, you piece of shit.
Jimmy Buffett and Steve Martin. I really got nothing else here. I don't know either of them.
Okay. He's only 100 musicals in, guys.
I know, right?
I'm only 100 in. Hey, they don't say their names in the shows.
That's what the playbills are for, you piece of shit.
I don't have the playbills.
I refuse to believe you guys talk about these shows without talking about some of these actors. Okay, so it's
Bernadette.
Okay. It's Bernadette Peters and Mandy Patinkin. Okay. All right, so Jess, what is the name of the famous painting this musical is based on?
A Sunday afternoon in the island of Grand Jatte.
Correct? Close enough. Yes, close enough. Yeah, there's a law in there, but that's good. A Sunday
island
afternoon.
Island of La Grande Jatte?
Yeah, a Sunday afternoon on the island of La Grande Jatte.
It is a beautiful painting. I got to see it in Chicago a few years ago, and it was like jaw-dropping.
Me too. When I was in college, my friend Ryan Oliver and I went to Chicago for one day, and we went to see Sondheim's Bounce.
Oh, how was it? I'm sure it was wonderful.
It was bad, but Richard Kind was in it and Gavin Creel, and they were great, but the show wasn't really good.
Emily, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but the frogs. Andrew is so insistent that he's going to love it.
I saw the frogs at Lincoln Center.
It was great?
No, it wasn't good. But
Somebody's telling me it's good.
I love the score of the frogs. I had that double album with Evening Primrose back in the day, and I loved it. I think the score is good. I think they adapted it weird. It was right during, like, it was like, I don't know, 04 or 05 or something.
Was that the swimming pool adaptation?
No, the original was a swimming pool version. Okay. That was the one he did at Yale, and Meryl Streep was in it. But the one at Lincoln Center was, like, just Lincoln Center. And it just wasn't very good.
Are they in frog costumes, or is there any frog memorabilia that I can get my hands on?
There was I remember the logo was like a goblet, like a Grecian urn, one Grecian urn, but with like a little cute little frog coming out of it. I remember that.
I love frogs so much.
Oh, yay. So see, much. That's a deep Sondheim cut. I like that. okay, so we're going to move on to a musical that, again, even the normies know. We're here at Annie. So, Annie. Andrew.
Yep.
Little Orphan Andrew.
You're real disappointed. Excuse me.
Prepare to be disappointed.
Finish the lyric. Tomorrow, I love ya, tomorrow.
You're always a day away.
You got it right, and I'm still disappointed.
And I would have accepted always or only. So well done. See? Okay. Jess, what hotel is Rooster's girlfriend Lily named after?
The St. Regis.
Mm-hmm. Named for the hotel. I don't know why, but that is like my favorite joke in the show.
Is that even a joke?
I don't know why it makes me laugh. It's just such a weird thing for a character to say. Name for the hotel. Like, what? I don't know. It's just.
Well, my brain thought like. Like, if her last name is St. Regis, does that mean she comes from like the money that funded the hotel? Or did
they,
like...
She's just dumb. She's just like, I want to get to the hotel. Like, no, you're not. Okay. Three more, everybody. Okay. So our next one is Hairspray. Okay. Andrew.
Everyone's probably
confident. I'm ready.
All right.
I'm getting this one.
What is the name of the television show that Tracy wants to dance on and eventually does?
Oh.
It's hosted by a guy and his name is in the title.
I know. I can't quite remember his name.
We talked. We said his name so many times.
We said his name so many times because he is the best character in mm-hmm. Hairspray.
Yeah, and James Marsden is so good as him.
Yep, and I can't remember his name at all.
It starts with a C, and it's an alliteration.
Yes, it is. that doesn't mean I can remember it.
It's named after a vegetable.
Chubby Checker show.
Chubby Checker pressure. It's Corny Collins. Collins.
I wanted to say Colin, but I couldn't think of the other word.
That's all right. Because they go, he's corny. And it's funny. Okay. Jess.
Yes.
Two actresses in the original production in supporting roles went on to headline two major Broadway musicals in 2007. Who were those actresses, and what were the musicals?
Are we still talking about Hairspray?
Uh-huh. Two actresses who played supporting roles in Hairspray a few years later would go on to star, headline, leading roles in two major Broadway musicals in the same year. Who were those actresses in that original Broadway production, and what were the musicals? The hint is they're both musicals based on movies.
Oh, wow. That's a tough one.
I know,
I don't know
right?
if Jess is going to get this one.
I know. Just think of that original Broadway cast.
I am, and I
think
for
of
some
the
reason,
girls in the supporting roles.
I mean,
and think what else they would do.
The first one I got is Carrie Butler, and I'm trying to remember what she was in 2007.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got that right. That is correct.
I know that's one of them, and mm-hmm. like my first thought goes to Little Shop, but I know that one's not right because that came out much before that. And
no, it was a newish musical based on a movie. It was maybe her first big, like, headlining role, like, not a supporting role.
Let me think. I'm trying to think of the 2007 Tony season, honestly. Because I'm going to have to call it. I know that Carrie Butler, and I can't think of another actress.
Does this help? You look at a poster like this. Does it make you think of anything?
Honestly, it makes me think of Hedwig, and I know that's wrong, too.
Okay, so in 2007, Carrie Butler, who played Penny, was the star in Xanadu. And then Laura Bell Bundy.
Oh, and Amber. Legally Blonde. Fuck! I forgot Laura Bell Bundy was in Hairspray.
It was Amber.
You should have known that, Jess. I had that one.
I know that was a tough one, but I wanted to be really tough.
Yes, that is a very fair question, and I got it wrong because I'm dumb.
No, you're not dumb. That was a toughie. Okay, so we have two more, everybody. Les Misérables. Everyone knows Les Misérables. So, Andrew.
Yeah.
What is the title of the Act 1 finale?
Oh, that's too easy.
One day more.
Yay!
That was too easy. That one, I will admit, that was too easy.
Okay, I guess I'll go back to hard ones. All right.
Yeah, give me a harder one. Give me one I won't get.
Okay, sure. The next one will be one. Jess, please list the six major characters who die in Les Mis.
All right.
Now, I know there's a bunch of other side characters, but the six main ones.
All right, let's start. I'm going to try to do this chronologically. Fantine is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go through most of Act 1. And most people end up pretty good throughout most of Act 1, the rest of that.
Yeah.
So Act 2 starts, and I think the very first person to die in Act 2 is Eponine.
Mm-hmm.
And then follow her up with Gavroche.
That little fucker.
yes. Gavroche, and then we have basically the entire barricade boy. So we got Grantaire, we got Enjolras, we've got
Enjolras. Let's have Enjolras. There's two more main ones.
I mean, we've got to count Jolly, Colferac.
No, I said main important characters, not supporting characters.
So Grantaire and Enjolras, are we not counting Grantaire?
No, don't count them. Two more.
So Javert and Jean Valjean.
There you go, baby. Come on, I didn't want to be here all day. All right.
Come on, Grantaire is a main character. He makes a Don Juan joke.
That's true. He does. Don Juan.
All right, baby.
All right. We are at question number 25. We're at the last one.
Fuck.
And we are ending it with Phantom of the Opera. Thank you. That was a really good impression.
It was like he was in the room with us.
Right? I mean, Michael Crawford? All right. Andrew. Right. Who was the character Christine specifically written for? She was married to Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh God!
She got them
see,
eyes.
See, this one's hard now. Why'd you give me a hard question? I didn't
Who's
ask for
this.
Who's
the most famous soprano of all time?
She's big with the eyes. She's in Repo, the genetic opera.
Haven't watched that yet. We will. We will though. That's gonna be a good one.
Oh my!
And
goodness.
Emily should join us for that one. That would be a fun.
Oh, dude,
one
I'm in. I love that one.
I love that movie.
We did a Halloween review of it.
You know, I've really got nothing on this one.
That would be Sarah Brightman. All right, and Jess, what is the name of the opera the Phantom writes and stars in during the second act?
Don Juan Triumphant.
There we go. And that is the end of that. And we are at, let's see, one, two. Look, we got 13 for Andrew.
And I actually didn't do the worst.
And 20 for Jess.
What is that like a C?
That means you only missed five. And Andrew, I don't know. I'm bad.
I missed like 8 or 9 or 10.
Yeah. So I have a couple tiebreakers that
this one's worth really 7 points. It's 7 points.
7 points. I don't think
worth 7 points.
It's a pretty ridiculous tiebreaker. So
that's a very reasonable number you picked there, Jess.
You might want to just do it for funsies.
For the funsies, it's worth 7 points.
Okay, let's see if I have two of them. I have two tiebreakers, so I'll do what I consider the easier one first, and then I'll do the harder one. So the first one is name all the songs. We'll go back and forth. Name all the songs you can think of from Sweeney Todd, starting with Jess.
Oh, okay. Are we going back and forth between each other?
Yeah, just name a song.
The Ballad of Sweeney Todd.
Okay, Andrew?
Wait.
Yeah, okay, Jess?
Worst Pies in London.
Okay, Andrew?
Epiphany.
All right, Jess?
A Little Priest.
Okay, Andrew?
By the Sea.
Uh-huh, okay. Jess?
City on Fire.
Ah, okay, Andrew?
Okay. Oh my goodness. What do they call it? They just call it finale, don't they? Like the whole closer there?
I'd accept it.
That whole closer there. I remember on the album it's called Finale or something
like
that.
Okay, Finale. All right, Jess?
The Contest.
Okay,
Andrew? That's a good one. Which ones have we said already? Because I don't remember.
I can't remember.
Da 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 da.
Did we already say? Yeah. Wait.
We said Worst Pies. We said A Little Priest. We said Epiphany. We said The Contest. We said the Finale. We said The Ballad. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And we said three more.
Okay. Oh my goodness. I can't remember them.
This isn't for actual scoring. This is just for fun.
Come on,
okay.
Andrew.
There's only one that I'm thinking of right now, and I can't remember the title, but it's the one that Beatle plays on the piano, and it's so ridiculous.
Stupid songs.
Sweet Polly Plunkett,
Star Wars song.
I pass.
Yes.
Ooh, down the city road crying. I'm a lass, ooh, lass of the land, ooh, lass of the lass, ooh, of the land.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Can that count that one?
Yes. Canterbury, tis a round, oh, diddle down day. Okay, so did we say the song about the title, not the title song, one of the most famous songs from the show?
Not While I'm Around, or Pirelli's Miracle Elixir, or God That's Good.
What about My Friends, or whatever it is?
You guys aren't naming, like, one of the most famous songs from the show.
Place Like
Victor
London.
Victor Garber sings it.
Joanna.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I even said that was my favorite. It still is my favorite.
Oh.
Green Finch and Linnet Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so you keep going at home. Now I'm going to ask the other silly tiebreaker. This one's going to be a little trickier.
They're requesting Carrie questions in the comments, so...
Carrie questions? No, I'm not doing a Carrie question.
Okay. Everybody loves Carrie.
Everybody loves Carrie. All right, so I'm going to ask you to name all the actresses you can think of who played Dolly Levi.
Okay, none.
That's a lot.
All right,
can
you, Jess.
Can we name any actresses who have
I'd
played
say if Andrew time? Can name any of them, I'll pick up the slack where he can. He
okay. Okay, I've got none. Okay.
All right, what about that actress? She's got that voice, and she originated the role on Broadway, and she talks like this. She's a meme. Jam tomorrow, jam yesterday.
I'm so bad with actors, it's not even funny. I cannot think of anyone. I'm sorry,
Jess?
Everyone.
Jess,
it's
who
Carol
is it?
Channing.
Carol Channing. All right. Who played her in the movie? In the movie, she's always like, hello, gorgeous. And this is, I only need to be filmed on my left side. And I was way too young for the role. I was wildly miscast. She's a very famous singer and Broadway star.
And there's an effect named after her.
Left side, very profile. I'm doing her voice right
now. Am I supposed to be guessing? Because
yes,
no way
Andrew.
As I've already said, I don't know.
Andrew, there is a very famous thing that she did that she made a problem worse by bringing attention to it, and now there is an effect named after her.
She's like, rain on my parade.
I actually only know it because of Jess's hint, but it's Barbara Streisand.
Thank you, Barbara.
But I only know it because of Jess's hint, nothing else.
All right, Jess,
I'm
give
sorry.
Me another one.
You mean list more Carol Channings?
List more Dolly Levi's. Thank you very
Dolly
much.
Dolly Levi's. Bette Midler. I'm trying to remember. I feel terrible now because I can't remember.
There was an all-black version. That
yeah,
was
that's
really
the one I'm trying to remember the name of, and it's bothering me that I can't remember her name.
Pearl Bailey.
And then you got like all the folks that played her. Carolee Carmelo played her more recently.
Do you know who Carol Channing's first big like replacement was like on tour?
I do not.
Mary Martin.
Ooh, that I don't see that working.
Well, she did it, and Ethel Merman did it. Like every...
none of those. Like it's Carol Channing's role. Stop taking away from her, people.
Well, she had to go do other stuff because it was. A big
I gotta go do other stuff.
She had to go do other stuff, and then yeah, we had Bette Midler, and then who did it in the most like recent iterations? Anyone?
Did I say Bernadette Peters already?
No, let's do Bernadette in there. She did it.
Donna Murphy took over for a bit.
I saw someone amazing on tour. I saw a Broadway legend on tour.
I said Carolee Carmelo or Betty Buckley is who you're
Betty Buckley. I saw Betty Buckley do it.
Yeah, she would be amazing in the role.
She was great. She was amazing. Okay, and that's it, baby. That's the trivia.
Hey, chat. Why don't you pull up some trivia questions between me and Andrew and see what you can do? Emily, you can ask them. How about that? Let them throw some questions at us.
Oh, ask questions at us? Oh, golly. Well, here's the thing. If it's something newer, I probably won't know
it. Well, just throw the question at us, and then if we get it right, the chat will 100% tell us.
But hey, I want to say, you guys did a really good job, though. I mean...
I did not.
You did... Wait, hold on. You sold yourself really short, and you did really well. 13, baby!
Mm-hmm. That's actually, let's let Thomas pick the questions and then give Emily a break to enjoy her drink and laugh.
Thank you.
Do we have any questions?
Is the chat giving us any questions? I thought I trusted them.
Christy's saying
like name all the Tony Award winners for best musical in order. No, I can't do that.
Well, we got Hadestown, and then before that
was that's something the wrong I don't order. Even. Oh, that would be the band's visit.
Yeah, and the then, band's visit, and then Dear Evan Hansen was before that.
God, and then was it Hamilton? Wait, time means nothing. Hamilton, maybe?
The Muppets. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Oh, we have some more questions. Name all the actors who played Sweeney Todd. I was going to have that as one of my tiebreakers. No joke. I started making a list.
A good man named Len Cariou, who I met and was super sweet. His wife is like the sweetest person ever. We had like I sat at his table at dinner with a few of my friends, and they were like the sweetest old couple in the world. Then George Hearn. And then Brian Stokes Mitchell is another Sweeney.
I saw Stokes do it at the Kennedy Center, and I saw Kelsey Grammer do it in L.A. when I was in high school.
Yikes. That's a bad performance.
That was when I was in rehearsals for Fiddler on the Roof. And my friend Ryan and I had tickets for it. And Christine Baranski was in it. So I saw her do it in L.A. and at the Kennedy Center. And she was amazing. But Kelsey Grammer was not good. But Neil Patrick Harris was... Tobias. Toby. Yeah.
He wrote about that in his biography about how Kelsey Grammer showed up, didn't know any of his lines, and insisted TVs be hidden in the stage.
Yep. And we were up in the balcony, and you could tell. Like, I didn't know what was going on. But Stokes playing Sweeney was fantastic. Fantastic.
It's brilliant. And then also Bernd Turfel, Norm Lewis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. We said Michael Cerveris. George Hearn reprised his role in the concert with Patti LuPone. That was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. George Hearn is such a rock star, man.
George Hearn is great.
Oh, I love him.
This is who's your favorite one. Sweeney, by the way?
George Hearn. I'm a big George Hearn.
I'm a Len Cariou guy. I always have been. He plays it like George Hearn, but a little like a touchdown, a little subtler.
Yeah, I like George because his voice is just like I kind of can't believe the voice that he has. Like he's got like almost like an '80s rock star voice out of this like derp a derp man. Like he's amazing. Derp, derp, but you know what I mean. Okay, who originated the role of Eve in Children of Eden?
I don't know. My brain wants to say Susan Egan, but I know that's not right.
God did it.
No, she would have been too...
Rib out of Adam.
What disease does the...
The Black Death.
Yep.
That's a good one. I'm looking at all these questions.
A vodka stinger! I'll drink to that.
The day Elaine Stritch died, my mom and I drank
Frederick Forsyth.
And they're disgusting. Vodka stingers are really gross.
Frederick Forsyth.
There you go.
And it was The Phantom of the Manhattan.
What is the third musical that Jonathan Larson wrote?
Suburbia.
God. Suburbia is also a play.
I think it's Suburbia with a P and not a B.
Oh.
He wanted to adapt 1984, but then couldn't get the rights, so he wrote Suburbia.
See, I remember reading that in my Rent book, but then again, I haven't read my Rent book since like the 90s. How many words are wrapped by... Oh, wait. I don't know where he came up with the idea.
He came up with it on a cruise ship.
Ooh, wrapped by Lafayette in 3 seconds. This horse by the reins making red coats. Wait, is red coats one word? Red coats redder with blood stains.
Lafayette!
13?
13.
13?
Son of a witch.
Oh, I read that book. It was okay.
Joan Crawford.
How do you know all these?
Now it's like a game against me and Emily now. Who can spit out these answers first?
Will chess ever be finished? That's
Android Webber questions.
Never.
Chess where all of their songs just never end. It's just like the ninth chorus of like. Oh, wait, hold on. I wanna be and who I wanna be.
Don't stop.
Wasn't it madness? How big of what is
that's a guitar.
Wow.
I don't know.
It didn't even come up on the screen. I couldn't even read it yet.
He's a real son of a bitch.
He's a real SOB.
I don't know that one. That's Sondheim. Sondheim wanted to do it, but then he decided it wasn't able to do it. He wasn't going to improve upon it, so he walked away from the project.
He's old. Oh, hold on. I know what? This. He says it a lot in the text. It's like it's something like 28 3/4 or something like that. It's something like that.
Oh, I don't know that.
I just watched the Drunk History on that like the other day too. Like I just was like looking at stuff on YouTube and I saw it. I don't remember her name.
Was this 9? Jane Krakowski?
No. Oh. Grand Hotel?
Oh, that's right. Fuck.
I think it's Grand Hotel.
No, we're not doing that.
I do love her concert version of Anyone Can Whistle.
Edward Weber for Plagiarism that, was
that's the Puccini Estate and Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Cabaret is based off the play I Am a Camera. What book is that play based off of? It's something about like Berlin or
Germany. It's like something in Berlin.
Yeah. Shrek. I don't know. That I'm not was gonna learn Shrek till I have to direct it with kids.
It was Donkey Pot Pie that later turned into Forever.
Donkey Pot Pie.
That sounds gross.
All the good ones.
All the good ones. I mean, they cut all of Goodbye Love. They cut everything that gets like that
Christmas Bells. Tune Up 1 and 2.
I hate that movie version. Also, they turn all the songs into like spoken word pieces. It's so weird.
This is the Andrew Lloyd Webber Memorial Swimming Pool.
There you go. They said Goodbye to Berlin. So there you go. We were right. Who was intended to be the original composer, Sally? What?
Who composed Sally Bowles?
Oh, I don't. Oh, the original, some British lady with blonde hair. I can't remember her name.
Madonna.
No, not Madonna.
Maybe
Madonna. So Chad, who's doing better at these questions? I think Andrew's winning. Honestly. Winning.
The only way to win is not to play.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I was playing host and drinking wine.
Oh, Emily, you did amazing, by the way. You were absolutely incredible.
You were the real winner tonight.
You really were. You
just to take it away from this. Mostly to take it away from Jess, but
I love musical theater trivia. It's my favorite stuff. So this winning.
Also true.
Yes, he is. Should we bring him on and let the world see his face?
Just for a second, though. Like he should just pop in really quick and then disappear.
Sunglasses and all. Come on.
Yeah. Can we have a cheese question, please?
There he is.
What's up? Okay, that's it. Bye.
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 Whoa. You saw him.
What? Did you see him too?
He hacked us.
Oh my God.
What's your favorite type of cheese, everybody? We're 100 episodes in. Everyone needs to know.
Oh my God. Oh, wait. Someone said, name all the musicals produced by Leo and Max and the producers. She Strips to Conquer, Funny Boy. It's Funny Boy 2.
Because Funny Boy was the original one.
God, you know, it's so funny. Jeff did a whole like binge the other night of a bunch of Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes. And I said, you have to put the producers one on. So we watched that. So I just saw that ending where all the lights come up and they're all showing all the shows they produce. But She Stoops to Conquer is always the one that makes me laugh. Oh, yeah, Cats. Cats, K-A-T-Z.
The Producers is such a good show. Why is it such a dog shit movie?
Because Susan Stroman didn't direct it like it was a movie.
Oh, God.
And all the acting is like, like, you know.
Pause for laughter, everyone.
Yeah. And everyone's my favorite as well. Standing in that stage way where they're all open. And, like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
George Salazar. I know stupid stuff, guys.
That's not stupid. I know stupid stuff, too. I'm telling you.
My girlfriend literally just texted me, you know some obscure shit, homie.
Way too obscure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm better with, like, the older stuff. So, anyway. What is the restaurant that Amalia is supposed to meet? Georg. She loves me. I don't know.
I don't know. She loves me very well. They must have a romantic atmosphere, which is the most important thing to know.
Yeah.
All right. Is this the jazz singer? Are we being like that technical with this?
I mean, yeah, like that would be the first movie musical and the first movie with sound, The Jazz Singer, starring Al Jolson. Blackface and all, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Three times. Yes, I have. It's okay.
Is that Vincent Van Gogh?
Yeah, it's with all the Star Kid people in it.
Oof. Harsh criticism.
Yeah, right? Oh, I don't I don't know this.
3 or 4 times, more times than normal, I'd say.
Isn't one more times than normal? You don't clone dogs, usually.
Pippin's grandmother in Pippin. I know that. It's, hold on. I have to think. Hold on. Bertha. It's Bertha. She sings, Bertha. Oh, it's time to start living. And she was originated by the gal who was Granny on Beverly Hillbillies on the TV show. And then she died during one of the performances.
Ooh.
And she was like, just rubles. No time at all. Died.
She had no time at all. 50 rubles.
I mean, I think Irene.
Jess, you're not winning any money for this.
I think is her name. Yeah. Ah, see, Christy, I was right. Irene Ryan. Since Hal died 1 year ago yesterday. Yeah, I saw that. I forgot that it was.
God, time passes.
God. I don't know. 20, 50? I mean, a bajillion? Maybe none.
Eric Idle.
Oh, it's. I music directed this with high schoolers and they had to cut out all that stuff. It was really weird. I don't remember.
Oh, my girlfriend just texted me a request.
Hold me, touch me. Yes.
A girlfriend asked, what is the musical roles we would all like to play the most? Which I think is a good question. That is
like dream roles.
Yeah. Dream roles. And I think Andrew could actually answer this one.
That we haven't played yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't played any. So.
Okay. Dream roles. Go.
Jess, you go first.
I'd love to be Tevye. A lot of these are like roles I can't play because I'm too young at the moment. Like Sweeney Todd, like that's the obvious one. I'd love to be the MC, but I don't think I'd fit that role to begin with. So I'd say the older gentleman that gets the brick through his window, that would be my dream role in Cabaret. You know, all the old man roles, like the old man and waitress, you know, the ones that don't require a lot of work or singing. I just sit in a chair and be like,
Yeah, I love those parts. Those are my favorite parts. Okay. So I always joke that, I've been waiting to be middle-aged my whole life so I can play all the great Sondheim roles. And, you know, I'm like on the other side of 35 now. So I'm like getting there. So I've played some of the Sondheim roles I wanted to play when I was younger. I've been Squeaky Fromm. I've been Petra. But I feel like I want to play every character in A Little Night Music. You know, that's in my range. Can't be Anne. But like, I feel like I want to play every character in A Little Night Music at some point in my life. But other than that, I still haven't done Into the Woods. So Baker's Wife is a dream role. Dot and Sunny in the Park with George is a dream role. Amy and Company or Joanne and Company. Mrs. Lovett. There's probably more. I'd really like to play Mother in Ragtime someday and be like a serious actor, but I don't know if that'll ever happen.
You know what? I now want to do this. I want to perform like Into the Woods as the baker to your baker's wife. I feel like that'd be a lot of fun to do.
I want to do Into the Woods so bad. And I'd be happy with The Witch too. But I just remember ever since I was a kid and I saw Joanna Gleason do it and she gets that applause that doesn't end. Like it just doesn't end. And I was like, she didn't hit any high notes. She just acted the shit out of that. I love that. That's what I love about Sondheim. It's like you can sometimes get the high notes and they're fun, but it's not about the high notes. It's about storytelling, which is what I love about musical theater. That's Andrew can be milk white.
I'm
good at playing a dead cow.
Christy, Andrew, what's your dream role?
All right. I would be Beetlejuice. I want to be larger than life. I want to be a big boy.
Is that it? That's your one choice?
It fits me, I Great think. Choice. I think I can, I'm already halfway there.
We do not bring up Alex Brightman here. Let's move on.
I don't know who that is.
We move on.
Okay. Is there anything else we want to talk about? Nothing happened. Nothing, Juliet. Don't worry about it.
my bad.
No, it's okay. You're assholes.
Sorry, guys.
Okay. Is there any other musicals? Hey, so how much have you guys learned after 100 episodes? I want to know. Have you grown and changed?
Please, let's turn this into a true Hollywood story, or like a James Lipton interview now. I'm so down for this.
Yeah. Oh, okay. What is your favorite word?
Bumblefuck.
That's not a word. It's not my dictionary. Word. I checked.
Andrew, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word is hello.
My dog is driving me crazy right now. what is your favorite sound?
Well, we already know what your favorite sound is, Jess. You made it earlier.
Andrew, what is your favorite sound? No, it's a good sound. What is your favorite curse word?
I didn't know I had to prepare. Poppycock.
That's so bad. It's not a curse word.
Well, the one I say the most is fuck, and I don't think I want to say the one that I think is actually the most offensive, so.
Oh, then don't do it.
I'm a big fan of the C word just because of how, like, many consonants they fit into one word.
It's a nice sharp. Yeah.
If you want to actually offend someone with a curse word, that's the one you go for.
Mm-hmm, I like it. And if God exists, what would you like to hear him say when you reach the pearly gates?
You know, rent's pretty good. Maybe you should stop being a little asshole, Jess.
Andrew?
I want him to open them up and say, get the fuck in here.
Get the fuck in here! Come on, bro! Come on!
Come on! Get in here!
Come on, get in here!
Oh my god. Okay, and with that, I think I'm spent.
All right, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Let's all promote our socials, especially Emily's, because she made this all possible.
Oh,
really.
Okay. Yeah. I'm Emily A. B. Clark on Twitter. I think it's been down there scrolling at certain points. So follow me there. Or you can find me on YouTube at Stealing Focus. I do musical theater reviews, just like Jess and Andrew. But I kind of also do musical theater. No. I do musical theater history lessons.
Murder.
And I collaborate with them, and I have a little green puppet friend. So check me out over there.
Man, I didn't look at Twitter for a second, but y'all been tagging us and shit.
Oh really? Oh snap! No. Oh shoot! Shit. Okay, well, got some stuff to read when this is done.
Oh, I want to show off this comic because it made me laugh.
I want God to say I didn't let.
he wouldn't get in.
We sent you down there to prove that you don't belong here. You smacked her. You were a ghost and you smacked her.
You gave her a ghost smack. You don't ghost smack people.
It feels like a kiss because I've been bullied in school and I danced a whole ballet about it.
God, it was like being beat by an angel.
And that note, I think that sums up our first 100 episodes.
Let's beat by an angel. Okay.
All right. We love you all so much. Thank you. And we'll see you in the next live stream.
Yes.
Bye.
Gotcha. Maybe I'll do better next time. I'm going to try to learn this time.
You all did great.
Next 100 episodes, maybe I'll actually try to watch them.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.